What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 271 on this Monday, May 18th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Tom Green here with you. OU softball on to the Super Regionals again. They absolutely dominated the weekend in their home regional. Tom and I will recap it all. We'll look ahead to next weekend with the Supers, not who we thought would be coming to Norman. We'll set the table a little bit there. As we look ahead deeper into the postseason for OU softball, OU baseball continuing to slide. The scuffle continues. Got some thoughts there as they head out to Hoover for the SEC tournament. And we'll wrap it up. A little bit of hoops talk. The new entertainment district broke ground last week. Finally, feels like, you know, what's going to happen for real, actually. We'll get into that. We'll kind of clean that up a little bit on the back end as well. It's a multi-sport Monday, and we're excited to be with you on the Sooners Illustrated podcast. Before we get started, a reminder, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Take advantage of it. Be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. Diamond Sports, summer's coming up. Summer camps are coming up on the high school level. Recruiting is starting to really ramp up. And obviously, media days, fall camp, all that just around the corner. So jump in and be with us over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, Tom, let's get into it. Softball did their thing. Oklahoma softball hosted the regional last week. We talked about it going in, you know, last week. The kind of main question was, is the pitching deep enough? Is it good enough? And look, this is a regional that we expect them to win, right? Oklahoma is the number three seed. They've literally won the regional now 16 years in a row, going to the super regionals once again. But, man, you couldn't really ask for any more in terms of how dominant it was, right? Three games, Binghamton, Kansas, Michigan. They go 3-0, 28-1, the total score margin. Obviously, put up plenty of runs. Pitching was excellent as well. I certainly have some thoughts, Tom, to kind of throw out from the weekend. I'll throw to you first, though. I mean, just I don't know what more you could have really hoped for if you're an OU fan. I mean, at the end of the day, the goal is to win the whole thing. But you can't really get off to a much better start than what Oklahoma did this last few days in Norman. They completely dominated all three games, and they're on to the Supers.
Yeah, they quickly put, you know, that disappointment of the SEC tournament behind them. You know, Patty Gasso talked about, like, moving past that Georgia thing, which they, you know, really did in convincing fashion. And obviously the big question coming into the postseason was, like you said, the pitching. How would it hold up? Because right. It's kind of been the looming question for this team all season long. And again, competition is going to get stiffer, but you could not have asked for much more from the pitching staff this weekend. In three games, they tossed 17 innings, gave up just six hits, the one run, and that one run was a solo home run in the second inning yesterday that Audrey Lowry allowed. That was the only extra base hit they gave up all weekend. They struck out 13, walked only one batter. You know, the three teams they faced combined to hit, I think, 104 on the weekend. You know, 0.53 ERA for the staff, just a really dominant performance. And, you know, it was everybody that was, you know, really impressive. You know, Audrey Lowry kind of set the tone in the opening game and in the clincher there. You know, she pitched 6 2/3 innings, gave up the one run, struck out six batters. You know, gave up, I think, three hits across her two appearances, maybe four hits, can't recall the exact number. You know, got some good innings from, you know, the freshman. Berkeley Zakay came in, Alyssa Parker came in that first game. You know, Miley Guacheno in that second game had maybe her best pitching performance of the season, you know, five inning, one hit shutout in a run rule victory, struck out six, didn't walk any, just really good command from her. And then again, Audrey Lowry just kind of setting the tone yesterday and then getting a perfect inning of relief from, you know, Kirsten Deal. And then 1 1/3 innings to close it out from Sydney Berzon. And, you know, Oklahoma retired, I think, the final 16 batters they faced yesterday combined. To get the job done. And, you know, it was just a really, you know, top to bottom impressive performance from that pitching staff. And it just kind of put it in perspective. You know, Oklahoma is one of only four teams out of the entire field that gave up one run or fewer this weekend. The other three were the other top four seeds. You know, Alabama did not allow a run as they swept through their regional. Texas allowed just one run. Nebraska allowed just one run. And, you know, all four of those teams advance. And, you know, kind of makes you think that, like, hey, this is kind of the cream of the crop in this tournament. And, you know, we've talked about the parity that, you know, this feels like a more wide open field. You know, I think those four teams probably made the best case to separate themselves from the pack.
Yeah, I mean, it went to script for Oklahoma. Obviously, the main thing that stands out is the pitching, just because that was the question going in. And look, it's one weekend. The competition's going to get better. But I thought even if you wanted to poke holes in that, like, well, you know, they're going to play better teams, I thought it was really important that they got out to big leads in all these games early. They didn't have to, like, extend Audrey Lowry at all. Like, they really were able to get through this weekend. She threw a few innings on Friday. She threw a handful. I mean, she started the game yesterday, didn't pitch at all on Saturday. Like, they didn't need – because she's the one arm – we talk about the pitching all year. She's the one arm that, like, you feel really good about, right? Everyone else has had moments, but you're just not sure. She's been really quite good all year. And so, you know, Patty's talked about it for years, like, don't want to be too reliant on one arm, especially when you get into Oklahoma City and you're playing really good teams, you know, every couple of days or every other, you know, every day or however the schedule ends up breaking for you when you get there. Like, you have to prepare for that early on in the tournament, and you do that by winning and getting leads and not having to overextend. So I thought it was really important they got in and out of this weekend without Lowry. She probably doesn't feel gassed at all. Like, she's got to be pretty fresh, I would think, going into Super Regionals this weekend, which is really big. And then just the fact that on that same point, just the fact that they did just jump up, get leads. They scored early in all these games, you know, got a lead early, you know, put the opposing team behind the eight ball a little bit, get the crowd going a bit. And just, I thought from that perspective, you couldn't really ask for any more than what Oklahoma did. They were really, really good over the weekend for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Audrey Lowry. I think she threw something like 75 to 80 pitches in nearly seven innings of work.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah, it's good efficiency. And they got that really from everybody on that pitching staff throughout the weekend. But you mentioned the hitting too. Like, yeah, they got top to bottom production from that lineup. You know, Kai Minor really set the tone. I think she was 5 of 11. Four of those were extra base hits. She had two games where she had a double and a home run. And once, you know, you talk about getting off to these early starts or these quick starts, when your leadoff hitter is getting extra base hits to open the game, it's easy to put a run or two on the board early, considering the bats you have behind her with, you know, Ella Parker and Gabby Garcia and Kendall Wells, Cassidy Pickering coming out of that slump at the right time. She had some huge hits this weekend as well. Just really good production throughout that lineup. And, you know, the team seems a little bit unburdened after that wake-up call, it felt like, in Georgia. So I think they're in a pretty good spot heading into Supers.
For sure. Yeah, like you said, Kai yesterday smoked a double to start the game. They were the road team, the visiting team in their home ballpark. So it was literally first batter of the game, bang. And it felt like from that moment on, it just, Michigan was just trying to keep up. And, you know, Oklahoma able to roll a little bit. And like you said, they're on to Super Regionals for the 16th year in a row, which is absurd, obviously. And I was really struck by Patty Gasso in the postgame press conference yesterday. It was the first thing she was kind of just kind of like a tee it up question of just sort of, you know, you dominated the regional, you're on to Supers again. And, you know, she was very open about, like, yeah, we didn't really celebrate this at all. And, like, we're not going to celebrate it. Like, this is kind of, like, understood that we're supposed to do this. And we're on, like, thank you, we're done with it. And, like, this is the press conference 20 minutes after the game. Like, they had already moved on. It just kind of shows the mindset and the mentality. It's what you'd expect. Again, they live in the Women's College World Series, right? I mean, that is – the bare minimum is to get there. And really, even that is not looked at as a success anymore. It's because they've won so much. But it was just, you don't really hear coaches often do that. She got to there in the post game and just kind of was very open about, like, yeah, we really didn't celebrate this at all. It would feel like weird too, because it's just that's the expectation, is to go win your regional. The expectation is to go win two this week, get to Oklahoma City, then go win some more there and, you know, obviously try to win another trophy. It was a very businesslike, just dominant, handle your business on to the next weekend for Oklahoma, really, all around.
And I thought it was kind of telling that it wasn't Patty saying, yeah, it's like, we shouldn't be celebrating this. It was like, yeah, the players were kind of embarrassed to celebrate it because, like, because they understand the standard, not because, you know, like, she's got it drilled into them that it's like, no, you can't celebrate these moments. Like, yes, it is something to celebrate, but they know that the expectation, and, you know, both outside of the program and, you know, for themselves, is to get to Oklahoma City and to be that last team standing. So they know it's just kind of a step on the road toward their ultimate goal. So it was very much a reserved celebration there.
For sure. Kendall Wells still in a little bit of a freshman, you know, maybe just hitting a little bit of a freshman wall and still a little bit of a funk. She did homer on Friday, but came up with some, you know, she came up in the first inning with the bases loaded yesterday. You thought like, oh boy, here's a moment where, you know, she hits a grand slam. This place is going to go insane. Popped out. Like, she just kind of doesn't, she's not quite firing all cylinders right now. And obviously she was so unbelievable this whole year, a historic freshman season. The lineup is so good and so deep that it's not reliant on any one player. But obviously Oklahoma's best version is when Kendall Wells is rolling a little bit. So, you know, again, kind of more of the same. She kind of was in that homerless drought where she did end it with the Binghamton homer on Friday. But, you know, you'd like to see her maybe get going a little bit this weekend before you get to Oklahoma City. It's a little kind of mini storyline there. By the way, did you see the national anthem yesterday before the game? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Boys singing the national anthem. I don't know. I'm terrible at guessing kids' ages. I'm going to say like 10, 11, 12 range. I'm terrible at that. But he got into the anthem. He kind of like the moment got to him. He started off really strong. Then the moment kind of got to him. Crowd sang the rest of the anthem for him. Team came over and celebrated him. It was kind of a cool, kind of a funny, cool moment. I'm sure he's beating himself up. But I was joking, like, give the kid a second shot at it in the Supers. Maybe he doesn't want it. But that was kind of a funny, cool moment. Before the game on Sunday.
Kind of reminded me of, do you remember years ago? I feel like it was it a Pistons game when Mo Cheeks was.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. The girl
just kind of stumbled over the anthem and he came over and kind of helped her through it. Felt very much like that.
Yeah. It was funny because he started off the first few, lines, he was belting that thing. And then he just kind of like, he's like, you realize, wow, there's a lot of people staring at me right now. All right, so they dominate the regional, 28-1, like we said. Couldn't have asked for really any more. Now they're on to Supers, and it's not Oregon, who, like we talked about last week, Oregon was number 14. That's who, if it went chalk, they would have faced. But Oregon got beat in their home regional. Actually, didn't even get to the regional final. It was Mississippi State and St. Mary's yesterday, and the Bulldogs get the job done. So it's an all-SEC Super Regional this weekend at Love's Field. OU did not play Mississippi State this season. They also had a really good year, 40-something wins, 41, 42, something like that. Obviously, a great year. They go on the road and win their regional. Kind of a tough break for Oregon. Their best pitcher was out with an eye infection. She had a big patch in her eye. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But so Oregon was down their best pitcher, and that ended up really hurting them. But Mississippi State's not going to apologize about that, as they're obviously through. They're going to Supers. They're going to be coming to Norman this weekend. Tom, you know, it's an unseeded team. It's a good team, an SEC team, but you got to feel like Oklahoma, again, huge favorites to win this series, obviously. They would be against most anyone, but got to feel pretty good with the way you're just playing and you have an unseeded team coming in. Oklahoma obviously going to be very, very heavily favored to win this series, probably in two to get on to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mississippi State is still a solid team. You know, they finished 10th, I think, in the SEC this season. I believe they're ranked 20th at the end of the regular season nationally. So it's still a very quality opponent. And I think Oklahoma will get tested in a sense, but they should be favored to obviously advance to the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City just by, you know, A, the way they're playing and the fact that these games are at home, and Oklahoma just does not really drop games at home very often, especially since they've moved into Love's Field. So it'll be an interesting series. You know, Mississippi State, this is their second ever Super Regional appearance. Both of them have come in the last 5 years under, you know, Samantha Ricketts, who, you know, was a two-time All-American in Oklahoma, got her, you know, her coaching career started as a graduate assistant under Patty Gasso, and now she's over at Mississippi State. I think it's her seventh year there now. She's done a pretty good job of building that program up. So it'll be a little bit of homecoming there, some familiarity, obviously, with the staff. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think Oklahoma's got to feel really good about where they stand after coming out of this weekend the way they did.
Yeah, I mean, you're coming in playing extremely well, obviously, after what you just did in the home region, like you said. I'm curious if you can continue to do what you did with what I was saying before with the pitching in terms of, I assume Lowry will start game one on Friday, which is a noon start, by the way, in Norman. Like, can she give you 3-4 good innings, and then if you have a lead, maybe get her out? You win. You don't have to start her on. Like, if they could get through this and win this thing in two, kind of the same thing. Like, don't have to overuse Lowry too much. Keep her as fresh as possible. Because the WCWS starts, I think it's Thursday, right? I mean, it's a relatively quick turnaround. So, it's not that bad, obviously, if you win in two. But if you have to play on Sunday and Lowry has to throw a bunch of innings, it's like, you know, it all bleeds into the next, right? And so that's going to be the main thing for Oklahoma. Obviously, you fully expect them to win. But can they do what they just did, which is handle their business, no funny business, able to use a bunch of different arms, keep everyone fresh going into Oklahoma City? I think that's going to be really, really important, certainly for OU this weekend. And by the way, if you are looking ahead to Oklahoma City a little bit, Florida, Texas Tech, both won their regionals. So that's who OU would see in Oklahoma City on Thursday. It would be either number 6 Florida or number 11 Texas Tech. Both of those are obviously very exciting matchups, all the history of Florida and in the SEC. And then if Texas Tech, that's Nyjah Kennedy. So like that's either way, if Oklahoma handles their business this weekend, it'll be a pretty tantalizing first round matchup in Oklahoma City and a tough one either way. So going to be fun next couple of weeks, and we'll see what they do this weekend at Love's Field. But a very good start to the postseason for Oklahoma, obviously, as they completely dominate their home regional. And we move on. Obviously, Tom will have the coverage. Post-game press conference from yesterday, by the way, is on the YouTube channel, and intending to continue to do that the rest of the postseason, schedule permitting. But that's the plan. And so keep an eye out for that on the YouTube channel to hear from the team after every game the rest of the way. The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break. All right, let's do some other stuff. I'll get into baseball a little bit here. You know, it's a slide. It's a slide. They dropped the home series home to Tennessee at Bricktown Ballpark. People were asking and curious. It does go in the books as a home series for RPI purposes, things like that. This was considered a home series for Oklahoma, even though it was at Oklahoma City or in Oklahoma City. You know, it's such a perplexing team this year for Oklahoma, because at different times this year, the offense, the bullpen, the starting rotation has all been the biggest strength of the team, and at different times, the biggest weakness. It's moved around. You know, the best way I can describe it is, you know, Ben McKee does a great job with our Tennessee site. You know, we were chatting going into the weekend, and he had a preview article where he was asking me some Oklahoma questions. And one of the questions was, what would you consider Oklahoma's biggest strength? And I didn't know how to answer it. I was like, I don't know, because, yes, this team has had really good bullpen pitching at times. It hasn't been great lately. The starting rotation at the beginning of the year looked like it was going to be one of the best in the country. It's bad right now. It's in shambles at the moment. And the offense, which kind of was not great, is rolling right now. But earlier in the year, it obviously took a little while to kind of find it. They're scoring runs at a really high clip right now. They are mashing the baseball. Dayton LaChance is on a mega heater. Hit 3 home runs on Saturday. First OU player to hit 3 home runs since 2000, which is kind of unbelievable. He has 12 to lead the team, Tom. He didn't hit one until April 9th. He had 0 on April 9th. And he's just been rolling since, and now has a team-high 12. He's been absolutely phenomenal. Camden Johnson was sensational again. They are scoring runs. That's not the problem. They put up a team-high 17 hits on Thursday and lost to Tennessee in the series opener. They're giving up runs at just an ungodly rate right now. I should have looked it up. I want to say it's 7 or 8 games in a row giving up at least 9 runs. I mean, that's – yeah. That's tough, man. They're fortunate to have won a few, frankly, with that being the reality. They're just having a really hard time keeping teams in the ballpark. And, you know, there's been a couple just surprising mental lapses on the defensive side. You know, a pitcher not covering the bag or stuff like that, right? Stuff you're not used to seeing. And so, look, they're scoring runs. The rotation, it's in a tough spot. I mean, Cam Johnson didn't have it on Thursday. He, you know, It's so quick with him. The first 2 innings, he looked great. Third inning, can't get out of the inning. You know, after 2 zeros, third inning, it blows up on him. They go to Xander Mercurius on Friday. They change up the rotation. He was okay, kept him in the game, but obviously ends up taking the loss. Corey Rager, kind of the same thing. He was okay, kept him in the game, but, you know, so gave up some runs, certainly. It's an odd team in an odd spot. And frankly, it's a good thing they won on Saturday, because it was starting to get a little hairy for making the tournament. I think they were still okay, but you kind of look at the numbers historically, 13 wins and 14 wins in the SEC is kind of like the big line, right? Where at 13, it's kind of 50-50. At 14, the vast majority are in, and so that was their 14th win on Saturday. They kind of needed that. And so I don't know, Tom. I mean, the way they're hitting and the way we've seen them pitch, there's always going to be that small glimmer of hope if you're an OU fan of like maybe it just kind of the things click together at the right time and they can go on a run. That's the way this goes a lot of time in baseball, is just who can get hot in June and ride that. And that's still possible. But for an Oklahoma right now, it starts on the mound. They have to find a way to keep these games under wraps. I mean, the team, Tennessee, put up crazy runs all weekend after Arkansas did the weekend before, after Auburn did the weekend before that. Like it's Florida. It's just been a struggle to keep teams in the ballpark right now. And that's what's killing them.
Yeah. Would you have more concern if the pitching was on right now and they just weren't scoring runs? Or are you more concerned that they're scoring runs, but they're just not being able to outscore people right now with the way the pitching and the defense is?
I mean, I would probably rather see the pitching rolling. I feel like that's a little more sustainable and something we've seen them do. Obviously, when they went on their deepest run in 22, that was on the legs of pitching. And obviously, earlier this year, when this team was in the top 10, and we were talking about them being a national seed potentially, that was on the legs of the pitching being spectacular. I mean, you remember I was on this show 6-7 weeks ago saying this is as good of a bullpen as I've ever seen Oklahoma have. And I think part of it, and I still think the bullpen is pretty good, maybe not like we thought earlier in the year, but part of it is overuse. The rotation is not going deep into games. And they've had – this has been the most snake-bitten year I've ever seen as far as on Friday nights or Thursdays, whatever, game one of the series.
Right.
Whether it was Cam Johnson earlier in the year, they went to LJ McCurious for a while, they went back to Cam this week. They have not been able to get a good start on the first game of a weekend. And that is just brutal because obviously you always want to win the first game because it sets you up for the rest of the weekend. But to have your starter not be able to give you even three innings, you have to go deep into the bullpen. It sets you back the whole weekend. And they've been dealing with that all year. And so that's tough. That's tough to win that way, you know? And so, you know, maybe it can come together. A lot of it's going to come down to whenever they get to the regional, because they're going to be in. Whenever they're in the regional, they're not going to host. They're going to go on the road. And that first game, that 2-3 game on the Friday that the tournament starts, can Cam Johnson give them a good outing? If he gives them a good outing, I think they're going to have a shot to, you know, maybe battle their way and have a chance to win a regional. If he's out in the second inning and they're down 4-1 or whatever, you're probably in a really tough spot. And you don't want to put too much on one guy, but that's kind of where it's going to be. So I don't know. I mean, you look at these run totals. I mean, 9 this weekend to Tennessee, 10 from Arkansas, 12, 13, 10, 14 from Auburn. I mean, these are all in the last few weeks. I mean, that's hard. It's hard to win that way. And they're scoring runs, but we'll see what happens. So it's going to be interesting. And I'm curious, too. It was funny kind of talking to Skip a little bit on Saturday. They decided to go back to Dayton Taki, who's had a weird year. You know, last year, Taki at first base was great. He was having a great season. He broke his ankle, tried to come back, wasn't the same. And then this year, it's been a terrible year. Like, he hasn't been the same guy. But they decided to put him back in the lineup on Saturday, and Skip joked about it, saying, you know, before the game, he told Reggie Willis, like, let's just go back to opening day lineup. Like, let's kind of start like we've been tinkering all year. Let's go back to what we thought our nine was going to be in February, and that included Dayton Taki at first base. Drew 4 walks, hit a homer. Like, maybe he catches fire. I mean, they need more length in the lineup because the top 4 or 5 have been pretty good all year, but they need that bottom to give them a little more something. And maybe Taki provides that. Maybe he gets hot. I mean, who knows, right? So we shall see. They are out in Hoover. SEC tournament starts tomorrow. They have the late game. Yippee for me. Play LSU in the first game, who obviously they beat out in Baton Rouge. Now, LSU, they planned ahead for this. They kept their starters back because LSU, they're not going to get an at-large. So they know they have to go on a run in Hoover. So they're throwing their best arms on Tuesday, where Oklahoma's going to be, I think, probably in almost like a midweek type of spot. So that's tough, but we'll see what happens on Tuesday night. And also interesting, too, is this weekend they're using the ABS out there. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's going to be really interesting. I asked Skip about that after the game, just – because he's an old school guy, and he, you know, I think he would probably prefer they just left it alone. It sounded like he kind of liked the idea of them just calling it in real time, like not having challenges, like just kind of, which is what they did in the minors for a little while. But that's gonna be fascinating to see how that changes the game. If you haven't seen, you know, in the Major League Baseball, they can challenge balls and strikes. They're doing that in the SEC tournament. It's the same system with a bigger zone, by the way. They made the zone like quite a bit bigger than what they're using in Major League Baseball. And so everything close is going to be a strike this weekend if you challenge it. I mean, like that's the way it's kind of been described. So fascinating to see how that changes the games. And that may be good for Oklahoma. Maybe it helps them out a little bit. I don't know. We'll find out. But it's going to be a very, very interesting week out there in Hoover. The important thing, though, they are going to be in, and it's just a matter of where. Baseball America this morning had them number 23 going out to Tallahassee, number 10 Florida State. D1 Baseball, just before we start recording this, this Monday afternoon, had them number 29, so almost a three seed, or right on that kind of cut line, going out to Georgia Tech, who's number 2. So that's a big difference. Georgia Tech's obviously had a great year. So we'll see. We'll see where they actually end up landing when the brackets come out next Monday. By the time we do the show next Monday, we'll know where they're headed and set the table a little bit there. But it's just kind of been a struggle lately. If it's not one thing, it's another. And Skip's talked about that. Like, it's like when we're hitting, we can't get outs. When we're getting outs, we can't score. When we have a lead, the bullpen can't hold on to it. It's like it's just like you're plugging holes right now. And so we'll see what they do this week out in Hoover. All right, before we get out of here, a little cleanup on the hoop side of things. This was middle last week. We didn't talk about it on Monday, but we'll clean it up now. They broke ground on the Rock Creek Entertainment District in Norman last week. It's weird because I've honestly been kind of waiting for there to be like a snag or for them to, because it's just like this pursuit of OU getting a new arena for their basketball programs and for women's gymnastics as well has been a chase forever. I mean, just going back forever, going back to when I was in school there, even well before that even. And it's actually like gonna happen, which is kind of crazy. They have started, they broke ground. It's still got a couple more years of the LNC. Like, it's nothing that's like imminent, but Tom, it appears that it is happening. Long overdue. Anything that stuck out to you last week at that, Porter Moser, Jenny Baranchek were both there, celebrating what's obviously going to be great for their program. Certainly Roger Denny was there as well. Anything that stuck out to you from that last week as finally OU's going to seemingly have a new arena? A couple years, but it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that sticks out is just like their target date right now. They don't have a firm date, but they said, sometime during the 2028-29 season, preferably before postseason play would get underway. So you're thinking maybe January, February 2029.
Yeah.
Roger Denny said that any opportunity he gets, he's going to ask them if they could get that done sooner. So we're talking about at least two, probably closer to three seasons left of competition in the Lloyd Noble Center. But I mean, like you said, this is something that's been going on for the better part of a decade that they've been pursuing this. The current iteration of this project, the Rock Creek Entertainment District, Porter Moser said that basically like a month after him and Jenny Baranchek were both hired is when this idea was brought to them, this current iteration of the plan. And, even these last few years, like, it was 2024 when they thought that they had the approval to get this thing moving along, and it was just hitting snag after snag over the last 2 years, essentially. Before the state Supreme Court finally struck down that petition to bring it to a public vote, and they're finally getting underway with it. Like you said, they broke ground last Tuesday. The official construction is supposed to begin tomorrow. Tuesday the 19th. So, they're going to get going with this thing finally. And like, it's going to be a couple more years, but Oklahoma will soon have a new home for basketball. And, it's going to be an 8,000 seat arena. We'll see what the final number on, that capacity settles at. But I like the idea of a smaller venue. When I used to cover Auburn, when they opened their newer arena, which was around 2010 or so, it was a smaller capacity. I think it's still like 9,000 or so, but it was less than their old arena. And when they opened it, they weren't filling it like barely. It wasn't until the program got really good that place is packed. And when you have a smaller, more intimate setting and it just feels like everybody's on top of you, when that place is packed, it feels like you're in a 12,000, 15,000 seat arena. So I like that line of thought of, hey, reduce the capacity, make it feel like the people that are there are on top of you, so that when you do have a sold out crowd or close to capacity, it feels like you're playing in a much larger arena than it actually is.
Yeah, I agree totally. And look, we've talked about it even at some of these games at the LNC the last couple of years, where the crowd is kind of, you know, scarce later in the year when they're struggling or whatever. We've always had the thought of like, man, if this was at a smaller place where the seats were closer to the court or whatever, it wouldn't feel that bad a lot of the time. The LNC is pretty spacious. Fans are far from the court. It's kind of flat and wide. And so even when it's like a decent crowd in there, or like, you know, a midweek game, like okay crowd, I'll say, it doesn't feel great all the time, that it would feel a lot better in a place like this. And so, you know, it's going to be very interesting. Obviously they just need a new place. The LNC it's a dump. We've talked about it forever. It's a dump. You mentioned that after they got hired, we're going to year six for both of these coaches. Like it's been a journey to get here, and it's exciting that's finally going to happen. But also the location, right? I mean, the location, the Noble Center is on the far south of Norman. To get there from the city, Tom and I know as well as anyone, it's a pain. It sucks. And so we're going to north part of town. It's going to save you like 20 minutes to come from the city. For a midweek game, that's huge. For a Tuesday night game, like that's a big deal. And it's a much nicer area there. That whole area on the north part of town, all the different restaurants and stuff that they're going to continue to add, it's just a way better thing for everyone. And it's off campus. I know some people don't love that, and I get that. That's fair. But I think the positives far outweigh the negatives by a lot, frankly, for this. So I'm excited. Still got a couple more years. The LNC, we're not exactly done with it by any means. There's still many more games to be played in that place. But I look forward to finally getting to the new place whenever we get there. Like you said, maybe they could get it by conference play that year. That'd be nice, or something like that. That third, you know, 2 years from now. But we'll see. The other elf in the room with this also is just the very obvious question of like, will Porter Moser coach there? I mean, there's no secret that this is a massive year for Porter coming up. You know, a lot of people thought that he probably was not going to be around for this upcoming season, but Roger Denny, they put that faith in him. This Porter roster looks pretty good. We talked about that last week, that it seems like it's in a better place than last year, at least has the chance to be. And so can he coach a game there? If he is, that's good for OU, because that means that they've played well the next couple of years, right? And the other question, I mean, for Jenny, it's the same question, not for performance, but for like, would she jump to a bigger job? I think she's going to be more and more of a candidate for that sort of thing. So that was kind of the unspoken thing on when they're both there on that groundbreaking last week of like, will either coach be here when this thing actually opens for different reasons? But it's kind of funny to think about. Fast forward 3 years into the future, who knows, right? So
I just want to add one housekeeping note on the end there, because you mentioned this year's roster for men's basketball. You know, last week they signed all their transfers,
right?
Their G League edition and their new true freshman, Quincy Wadley. So they got the roster in place. Still a couple openings left to fill with like preferred walk on types, but they have their core and they know what they're going into the season with now.
No doubt. Yeah, good call on that. And it's a fun portal class, and we'll see what they look like. You know, obviously down the road, season's still a ways off, but it's going to be an interesting year coming up for OU Hoops for sure. All right, I think that's it. We'll be back later this week. I think this week's going to be the debut of Brody Lusk on the Sooners Illustrated podcast. Haven't locked that down with him yet. That's the tentative plan maybe later this week. And I'm sure I'll talk a little bit of hoops with him, get his kind of portal thoughts on Thursday, along with some football recruiting stuff. I got to lock that down with him, but that's kind of the tentative plan right there. Obviously, again, super regional coverage coming from Norman Friday, Saturday, obviously as they host Mississippi State, if needed, Sunday as well. Tom and I will circle back next Monday to preview presumably the Women's College World Series, or have a what happened if they lose this weekend, and set the table for the baseball tournament as well. Maybe getting some other football stuff. We haven't really been doing a lot of football lately. We're kind of in that middle zone, but maybe we'll get into some stuff, some cleanup stuff in the last few weeks on Monday as well. We'll do that next Monday as the Diamond Sports continue to roll on into the postseason. That's it for now. For Tom Green, I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.